So these next three paragraphs reveal Bentham's passion. Passion for the vision that he has cherished to his bosom of clarity in all things, clear rules and roles. Everybody does their bit and happiness flows as a result of it. That's his vision. Quote, "The true rampart, the only rampart against a tyrannical government, has always been and still is the faculty of allowing this disposition to obedience, without which there is no government, either to subsist or to cease. The existence of this faculty is as notorious as its power is efficacious. Shall this habit of obedience be continued unbroken? Or shall it be discontinued upon a certain occasion? French Revolution. Is there more to be gained than to be lost in point of happiness by its discontinuance? Of the two masses of evil," at least he acknowledges it, having folks who obey orders unquestioningly is an evil. "Of the two masses of evil, intensity, duration, certainty, all included, which appears to be the greatest? That to which one believes oneself exposed from continued obedience, or that to which one believes oneself exposed by its discontinuance?" Yeah, let's talk about it. All of us, not just the global statesmen. Continuing, "but this calculation is not sufficiently..." I'm sorry. This is his wagging finger at his contemporaries. "But this calculation is not sufficiently rapid for those who choose for their amusement the destruction and reconstruction of governments," unquote, from Panamio Fragments. Now, in what follows, this is another essay we're going to be spending some time with, I think, in future shows, "The Limits of Jurisprudence Defined," in which he argues that you got to go back, you got to go behind scenes, and you got to have a vision, basically, I think is the summary of this essay. You got to work indirectly, like Machiavelli and Plato and all the folks who wanted to fix in place rigid, fixed class divisions and serve their master's power well. Advocated, you got to work secretly, clandestinely. And he calls this indirect government. And what we have today, that's basically, I mean, yes, there are some upfront legislation strategies that power uses in an obvious upfront way, but that is nothing compared to how they maintain their control by their use of clandestine strategies and tactics. So in what follows, consider the global state statesman's obsession with regulation. This is all Plato and rule in general. With regulation, control, predictability, and order, given those ends, and therefore the need to institutionalize. Throw in Machiavelli in service to Plato, put Plato on a pedestal, and out of this mix, one result you will inevitably get, necessarily, is power-driven child-rearing methods. Now, this is obvious once we think about it, yet it's never discussed on the left. Most of us miss this because we're not accustomed or encouraged, to say the least, to look at the big picture when we think about the world. When we think about the world, we are kept, this is another gift of Bentham, teaching them about the panopticon, make sure they cannot see each other, atomization, keep them afraid of each other. Ongoing propaganda on this in the media, entertainment and what's the so-called news. I got involved, or I'm still pondering it, but Yesterday I went to, I thought, the farmer's market on Lakeshore and got there after 8, just not too long after 8. And they had locked down access to the main drag on Lakeshore. The farmer's market was accessible. But the main drag, Lakeshore Avenue, to the street, the cross streets in front and behind, it's like this big, big rectangle, including some of the freeway off-ramp. And although they allowed access to the Trader Joe's back of it, but there was... And I'm not sure if I had realized this, if I would have taken the trouble, but I, for a variety of reasons, wanted to go down to, and it was early in the morning, it was like 8:30, so all of this was blocked off, and so I had the choice of, and when I went to the farmer's market, I've sort of developed this sense of, I mean, partly it's sort of obvious if folks, when they see me pull out their cell phone device, press a button, put it back, you know, I sort of got the feeling, because it was so early in the morning, that if I was there, the farmers, vendors were there, but everybody else was paid folk tracking me, I swear. And my body started to tell me that I was, I started experiencing some physical effects. And I mean, I have ear ringing all the time, but there's the pressure in the head and chest that is also one of the effects. And so I had the choice of, because yeah, I couldn't obviously stay there. I had the choice of, and I had to, there was no place to park nearby. I had to park a long way away, up Grand. And my choice was to haul it back to the car or go onto the main drag, which is what I was there to do. But it was blocked off, either in, no way in. And so I decided, shoot, I'm gonna walk up this hill. I'm gonna climb this along the freeway. And it's a long hill up there. Go over the freeway overpass and then go down this long, long ramp. It was quite a trek. And an unsafe trek. And then all of a sudden it became a popular destination. So it became hazardous quickly. But I made it. But making it then was not making it, because I found myself on the Lakeshore main drag, no way to get back out. Because it became clear, I mean, I wait because I didn't think it was going to take long. They said it was, they had a man had a gun on the seat of a car and that he was passed out or something like that. And they had to bust into the car. And then they shot him with beanbags and took him away. But by the time I arrived, going on 8:30 in the morning, he'd already been hauled off to the hospital. So I figure, okay, whatever. Well, no, it wasn't whatever. It was almost 9 hours of lockdown. No way in, no way out, unless I was going to try that trek again. And no, I mean, there was helicopters, there was drones, there was buku police presence blocking that area down for no reason. And, you know. And so I looked at it as a teaching opportunity. Eventually, because it took me a few hours to realize they ain't going nowhere. I mean, nobody could believe. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's certain. At a certain point, it became clear that this was like the farmer's market. It was one of these Truman Show situations, almost 90%, if not more, because nobody could get onto that drag was paid folk. So all to say, it felt like a orchestration, to say the least. And if I say that I felt like I was being targeted, then it sounds arrogant. It sounds unbelievable. So I won't. And just found myself with a bunch of folks who pulled out cell phones every time I walked by or tried to sit down. So I wasn't able to sit down for that whole time, except for a brief moment, and had some scary brushes. Why did I tell you this story? Because I was at the moment in this narrative. We are talking about indirect legislation and the fact that power, that hidden power, is much more decisive in maintaining their control than what they do up front through legislation and open means. And that the construction is both the news as well as the entertainment. That entertainment, they make sure it's loaded with apocalyptic, can't trust your brothers and sisters messages. We can't, we that in crisis we turn on each other. It's dog eat dog when the opposite is true. The news itself is also a construction. And so, for instance, by the time it was this lockdown, they finally let us out about 4:30 in there. And the story at that point, that they the way they were spinning it made no sense. That the night before there had been a Black Lives Matter protest there. And so that's going to be apparently why the police overreacted. And see, the police are being made the heavy. And obviously they infiltrate and they put these fascists in there who, with gladness in their heart, shoot us down, target Black folk, no doubt. But we're talking about infiltration of everything. They can infiltrate a cafe. And then when a local comic shows up who happens to be African American, diss them and pretend they're racist. You see what I'm saying? Then it becomes a news item. And what follows? Tons of workshops and conventions and meetings to discuss this thing they created. In the first place, they create the news they want. And in this instance, they want us turned against the police. So we're going to have to talk about this. This is difficult because historically, that has been the case. The police have been, unfortunately, picked. And encouraged. It's been part of the job description to herd po' folk, right? And it's always been more about that. But this is a key tactic on their part that we haven't really discussed. The fact that if we are turned against the police, we are effectively turned from our future. We have to begin working with the police around these messages that the issue is a coerced work system, that a coerced work system is inherently totalitarian, by definition, inevitably brings us fascism, by whatever definition you want to use.